you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello there, and welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's your daily podcast in which we analyze, we scrutinize, and we celebrate The Force Awakens. One tense moment at a time. Tense minute at a time. I'm Alex Robinson from comicbookalex.com.
Welcome to Star Wars Moment. I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
And I'm Greg Wyszynski. I'm the senior NHL writer on ESPN. And I have two podcasts called ESPN on Ice with Emily Kaplan, where we talk about hockey without cursing. And then Puck Soup with Ryan Lambert and Dagos Brown, where we talk about hockey with cursing and then also movies and then also wrestling.
Wow. Packed with content. Well, thanks for coming back, Greg.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my pleasure.
We're talking about minute 107 today. It's minute 107 starts with Han Solo going out on the bridge to meet his destiny and ends a minute later with Han telling him it's not true. Him being Kylo Ren, of course. Right. I love the very theatrical presentation of this. It's like Rey and Finn are in one box.
Oh, it's so cool.
And reminds me of like Sheev and Anakin are in another box. Everyone's watching all of it, watching the scene together.
Right.
It is, you know, say what you will about JJ as a frenetic, camera constantly moving director with frequent lens flare, but the man knows how to compose a shot. And that shot of the light shining through the door down onto Han and Kylo while they're on the bridge, which they stay on for a few seconds, is really like painting level beauty. Beautiful. It's a really great shot.
Yeah, it runs the risk of being cheesy, but it's not. It stays cool.
Yeah.
Stay cool.
Yeah, I dig it.
Yeah, especially because it's also, you know, it comes into play. It becomes, you know, part of the plot a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, I don't know. Yeah, it's well done. And the fact that they wanted this, you know, kind of artistic setup is, you know, it's like, okay, well, that's why they needed the CG to kind of perfectly compose all this. And obviously you're not going to have a giant empty space chasm, you know, that you can
record it over a quarry or something.
Yeah. Snake River Canyon.
That'd be evil.
Yeah, it's solid. It's a cool shot. I'm gonna jump around a little bit. I gotta be honest with you. Every time either Han or Leia or anyone says the word Snoke, it is the most cringy thing.
It is.
It really
very
is.
Strange, yeah.
Like, it's just like the first time, because the first time Leia says it earlier in the film, it's so jarring because we've never really heard anybody talk about this character or anything, and all of a sudden we're just dropping references to it, and every time one of the primary characters in this film says the word Snoke, it feels like, you know what it feels like, boys? It feels like the reaction that Ewan McGregor had when he first heard the title Attack of the Clones.
Right. Uh-huh.
Like you can see, you know, Carrie cool. Fisher being like, Snoke? What's a Snoke? Kind of thing. And it just sounds like that when they talk about it. So Han Han dropping a Snoke reference here really kind of took me out of the scene.
Dropping a Snoke bomb.
It's very cartoon sounding. You know what I mean? I guess it would be almost like if Doctor Doom was in a movie. Can you see someone with a straight face say Doctor Doom and actually have it give it some gravitas?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah. I mean, in fairness, Snoke. he knew that he played a role in Kylo's corruption because he had a Snoke detector.
Why did it have to be Snoke?
Well, that's right.
There you go. Backing it up to the Cheech and Chong. They're up in Snoke.
Up in Snoke.
Where were we? Oh, yeah. Han Solo, much like everybody else, is all down on Kylo Ren's mask. And I think we need more people, more positivity, more people telling Kylo Ren that they like his mask, because otherwise that's just, you know, too many people, especially his dad, just being like, take that ridiculous thing off. You know, it's like, that's why he's rebelling. You know, he's being like,
not the boss of me.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite things about the sequel trilogy is the, especially what they established in this first film of Kylo being sort of this, poor man baby cosplaying as Vader. Like, it's a really great through line for me in these movies, and one of the reasons why I think Kylo is like the most compelling character is the idea that he's, you know, putting on airs about who he is and what he's trying to be, and that's why that, you know, that scene with Rey where she calls him out for it is one of the most effective moments of the movie, I think, because we're all seeing it. And then, you know, to call it out was really great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that, like, I never got that people are using that as a criticism of like, well, he's just like a whiny kind of wannabe Darth Vader. I'm like, yeah, that's the character. Like, that's,
yeah. Oh. You mean when people like criticize the movie? No,
feature,
that's
not a bug.
That's the whole point of it.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. is that he's sort of like, you know, playing dress up.
Exactly.
Like we often see horrible people do in this day and age, play dress up as things that they think will unnerve others. And then
that's probably what they didn't like about it, because it just reminds them that they are basically, you know, wannabe Darth Vaders, you know, and he's like too close to home.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, there's a lot of too close to home in these movies. You kidding me? Jeez.
Oh, for all the theatricality of the scene, no music in it, which is kind of interesting. It's very, I think that adds to the tension because it just feels so, you know, like real. It just feels so like kind of like raw and not theatrical, you know, despite the setting and everything. So
mm-hmm.
I wonder if there ever was going to be music, or if that JJ specifically said, you know, I don't want music here.
Mm.
It was going to be, whatever music Kylo Ren was listening to before, it was going to be like kind of moody, like
Depeche Mode.
Yeah.
Joy Division.
Joy Division, right?
Yeah. A little more aggro, like a little more like later.
No, but it's smart because the ambient noise here is great. The wind whipping around, as we talked about before, on the bridge, the mask hitting the bridge is a great sound. Like, there's a lot of really good stuff going on here as far as ambient noise. And you don't need the John Williams, you know, fanfare at this point to really make the scene work.
Well, and that's, you know, something that I feel, you know, I criticized about the I know there are few and far between, but my criticism of the prequels, one of them that I kept kind of coming back to, was they never let the movie breathe. Like, there was never kind of moments of just silence to let something happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people now will be, you know, calling the hotline to be like, you forgot about that part where it's, you know, something, you know, where Sebulba was talking to this other guy and there was, you know, 4 seconds of silence before the next scene started.
Which is hilarious that you're saying that as a defense of The Force Awakens, because it literally feels like the time from them getting on the Falcon to meeting Maz Kanata is about 17 minutes. Like, it is the most frenetic movie that is in the entire series, I think.
For me, it feels like it's about, you know, 4 or 5 months.
Oh, that's true. But, you know, it's funny because there is a rich tradition in these films of the absence of that. We all associate the John Williams score so directly to these films, but in episode 4, one of my favorite things about the Death Star finale is you don't hear the music until I forget which pilot it is crashes into to the surface of the Death Star, and then you hear that sort of like dun, 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 and then like you realize, all right, now we're in it, now it's going, and it's like cool silence and stuff, and yeah. It's not enough of it.
Let the engines and blasters speak for themselves.
Yeah.
One cool audio thing I noticed, you know, when I do my notes for the minute, I usually listen to it on earbuds, which you can notice different things because, you know, it's the... Anyway, so I noticed that when Kylo Ren is taking his helmet off, there's like a Vader breathing kind of sound of like the airlock or whatever it is. You know, it sounds very Vader-esque when he takes it off. It definitely sounds a lot like, to, you know, obviously meant to evoke that feeling. I wonder if this is when you first would have seen him unmasked originally.
I had a note about that with a question mark, because I don't think so. I think it was going to be that the kind of interrogation scene.
Yeah.
But then they added extra scenes before it because they wanted him to be... Like, they added the scene with him talking to Snoke or whatever.
Right.
I said Snoke. to kind of make it less of a reveal and more of a just kind of like, yeah, that's who he is. But I think, unless was that... I get that weirdly, even though having just stepped through it all, I still get the kind of timeline of this confused a little bit.
We've moved on, but is the pod racing scene sans music too? Is that just the noise of the engines and stuff?
Don't make us relive it.
See, funny, when I picture the pod race in my mind, it's to like an upbeat ragtime piano.
Well, anyways, that's neither here nor there. We talked about before everybody kind of standing around and watching this thing play out, which again is just sort of bothersome to me. I understand why they're doing it on the side of the resistance. But at the same time, dude's helmet's off, is clearly distracted. You've got blasters, end it. Take him out. Right?
Although he is standing right next to Kylo Ren, so you don't want to miss.
Oh no. I'm talking about our friends up top.
That's what I know. Yeah, I know if they shot down, they might hit.
Wait, God?
if Finn were to start shooting at Kylo Ren, then he might hit Han Solo. Or vice versa. If the stormtroopers. Yeah.
That John Boyega, who was one of their best janitors, couldn't zero in on Kylo Ren's forehead from that distance and shoot a blaster shot over the shoulder of Han Solo?
Well, but like you said, though, I don't know. There might be less excuse for why the stormtroopers aren't doing it.
True.
Han's back is even to them. He wouldn't even see it coming.
I mean, I imagine Rey could probably sink that shot because she is a bit of a Mary Sue.
Of course, she's wonderful at everything. She should totally do that. Yeah, that's I wonder what her... What is her aim? We saw her like kind of, you know, aim and then recalibrate and then, you know, kind of shoot that little blaster before. But I wonder what her skill, like if this was the, you know, the Star Wars role playing game or something, what her skill level with a blaster would be. What do I need to roll in order for Rey to make this hit?
What are our thoughts on Jedi's wielding blasters? I mean, as we talked about earlier, we know that they find them to be uncivilized weapons, but at the same time, it seemed like they're pretty good shots.
Yeah.
Oh, the Force.
Yeah, I think it's cheating, but it's because of the Force. I think I would like to see more Jedi using blasters. Of course, because I still, as much as I love a lightsaber, I think it's slightly overplayed, and we need to ease off of that. Keep it special.
When you see Adam Driver and Harrison Ford face to face, some pretty good casting right there, as far as like some level of lineage. You can kind of pass that off, I think.
Yeah, it's believable.
Yeah.
Well, I was wondering about that for, let's see. I think I had a note about that for tomorrow, but let me talk about it now. That it worked. Harrison Ford is 6'1". Adam Driver is 6'2".
Oh, there you go.
Carrie Fisher was 5'1". So.
Wow. Okay.
It's a good. There's photos of my mom's side of the family that look like that, where my mom is, 5'9", 5'10", something like that. And her father and her brother were, very tall. And then her mother is like 4'11" or something like that. So it's like, you have to reframe the photo in order to get them in there. So
essentially, midichlorians do not determine height, is what you're trying to tell me.
Yes.
No. Yes, you're right.
Except for Yarrel Poof.
Yeah, because the two highest midichlorian counts that we're aware of are Yoda, who's obviously very tiny, and Jake Lloyd era Anakin Skywalker, who's also very small. So,
I mean, he became strapping,
right. And he had less midichlorians.
Yeah, he had.
Oh, they diluted him,
so he had fewer midichlorians.
I also love the way Adam Driver reads his. I love all the lines he does as Kylo Ren, where he's like, "Your son is gone. He was weak and foolish, like his father." It just sounds so like that to me is like great cornball Star Wars dialogue, like there. So
yep.
I destroyed him. You know what I mean? It's so like it's like a kid talking.
Yeah,
yeah,
and which it, I guess it is. Really, yeah,
yeah, yeah, which fits the bill here.
So from his point of view, Kylo Ren was murdered. Ben Solo was murdered by Kylo Ren.
Right.
Well, that's what he wants to believe.
Yeah.
Right. You know, kind of like in Batman 89 when Jack Napier's like, Jack is dead and you can call me Joker. But he fell into a vat of acid, I guess, to get to that point.
Yeah.
As far as we know, that's not something that befell Ben Solo at any point. He didn't fall into a vat and become Kylo Ren, I don't believe.
No, I guess we'll have to find out.
As of this recording, episode 9 isn't out yet, so we'll see.
Yeah, but,
that's true.
Do we know that he has legs?
That's true. Technically, we don't see them. He's always wearing trousers.
Yeah.
I mean, trousers, I might add.
Yeah.
We've seen his naked torso, but we don't see... we haven't seen his... Maybe he's got like robot legs. Maybe that was part of it.
Are you saying like a Darth Maul situation where he's got like spider robot legs actually?
Maybe it is actually Darth Maul. He's been sitting on Darth Maul's shoulders this whole time.
Oh my gosh. Well,
wow.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
I have some Harrison Ford factoids in honor of the fact that he's about to be leaving us.
What?
Can I share them with you?
He is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, I got
please.
It.
Harrison Ford quote he said is, "As a man, I've always felt Irish. As an actor, I always felt Jewish."
He spent 30 years trying to get his remake of Yentl off the ground, and it never worked.
Did you guys see that movie, The Frisco Kid?
No,
I've seen
it's with Harrison Ford and Gene Wilder.
Okay,
yeah, I remember like bits and pieces of it on Channel 11.
Yeah.
For
some reason, I used to watch it all the time on HBO. Gene Wilder plays like a rabbi who's trying to travel to the West, and Harrison Ford is the cowboy who's kind of like escorting him, and they get into all sorts of crazy adventures.
No. But, I watched the porn parody of The Crisco Kid.
Harrison Ford was a Boy Scout, in fact, made it to Life Scout, which is the second highest rank that you can get. So, so that Indiana Jones stuff, Life Scout.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
he got patches for whip cracking, angry finger pointing, and being the president.
You get a patch for that, huh?
You do, yeah. It's a very hard to attain patch. Only him and Kennedy got it.
Right.
Kennedy, the MTV
from MTV. Yes. Fox News is Kennedy.
Harrison Ford, a sportscaster in college. If there's any audio recordings of him somewhere out there,
if somebody could dig that up and find that would be amazing.
That would be absolutely incredible. I would totally like is he play by play or is he the color?
Unfortunately, I do not have that information. Which one do you think he's more suited to?
First and 10. Ball spotter at the 30.
Catching fly balls ain't like dusting crops.
Although I do like him as the kind of, the TV sports recap, like the 5 o'clock news sports recap guy too.
Which sport do you think he would
on his kind of like smarmy, you know, like what's like when he's in Blade Runner, when he's kind of going briefly quote unquote undercover, you know, he puts on that fake voice to ask questions about
Zora. And here's Harrison Ford with sports. Pitchers and catchers report in 2 days.
Cubs lost, damn it.
The last bit of trivia I have is that his first movie role was in 1966, a movie he played the bellhop in Did Heat on a Merry-Go-Round.
There it is. All right.
You can only imagine what that's about.
I feel
apparently
like
a really boring race, I'm guessing. Just go round and around in circles. Can I show you to your room?
Apparently not.
How many keys do you need? We typically only give two for two occupants, but we can bump it up to three if you need a third one.
Hang on, let me get a cot.
Is this all your luggage?
That's all I got for 107.
Well, I'm
107, the oscillator.
Oscillator. Did what did I write here? No, that's exactly what we were talking about before with the certain point of view, kind of dark side persona destroying the good person that they once were.
Mm-hmm.
We'd already covered that. And we talked about this briefly yesterday, I think, but who do you think besides, you know, obviously Han and Ben, like, does anybody else know that these two are related? Chewbacca knows, I guess, because he was around.
Right, because he smelled it.
But did they tell, like, in the quick trip throughout this whole thing, like, did Han mention any of this to Rey or to Finn? Like, does she just think it was weirdos just killing her friend?
I'm gonna go no. It seems kind of like a family secret the way that him and Leia talk about it, right? Like, I don't think anybody in the Resistance is like going up to, you know, Leia and being like, "Your son's such an a-hole. He keeps killing everybody. What's going
Everyone
on?"
Everyone must know. Everyone at the Resistance knows.
How you think
they
so?
Not know that she was already famous? You know, they were already famous before they had the kids, so there would have been a lot of attention paid. And then, you know, once they're like, "Oh, whatever happened to your son?" They'd be like, you know,
knowing the First Order and how they operate, they probably sent out a press release.
Oh yeah, they probably I'm sure he's in all their literature and, you know, decrying his mother as the you know, leader of the Republic and everything.
They're like, "General Hux, we need a boilerplate quote for this press release announcing the acquisition of Ben Solo for the First Order."
I don't have time for such pleasantries.
That was kind of Batman-esque. I like.
Yeah, isn't it though? Yeah, no, I disagree. I don't think. I think this is like a. This is like, you know, you got an uncle secret. It's like you have an uncle that's in jail. Like you kind of keep it on the down low, and I don't think that they've told a lot of people that, you know, or a lot. I don't think a lot of people know that Ben Solo went rogue and is Kylo Ren. Although I don't know, because what's his face at the beginning of the movie knows. Old dude.
Yeah.
Vax von Sydow.
Vax von Sydow, right, yeah. Ming. Ming the Merciless knows. Ming knows all, right. He's got that ring.
But he might be a little like an insider family friend kind of thing.
Yeah,
who
knows? He seems like he's inner circle. I don't think, like, you know, the X Wing pilots know that you know, Kylo is Ben Solo.
If I may, Poe knows.
Like, no, Dameron.
I'd be like, "Poe, you don't know diddly."
Right.
Right.
Well, apparently in one of the novels, it becomes a big plot point that when Princess Leia is outed as being the daughter of Darth Vader, and it ruins her political career.
Mm.
So maybe, who knows?
So like an attack ad by
some rival who wants to become the president of the republic or whatever digs it out and to ruin.
So like so Laura Dern ran an attack ad and
you mean the actress
Leia's candidacy?
Yeah, whoever the other person was. Well, so I guess that'll wrap up minute 107. Unless you guys got something else, we have some more Kylo Ren, Han Solo fun tomorrow.
I got nothing.
Yeah, and this continues right, into that, so we'll keep it going.
Well, you've just been listening to us rap for about a half an hour or so, but if you want to keep hearing us talk, you know what you can do? You can check out one of our other old podcasts that we were on.
Whoa.
I currently do a podcast called Godfather Minute, which is like this, but about the Godfather, which I do with my brother. Pete and I were co-hosts along with Adam and John on Alphabetical, where we went through all the Beatles songs alphabetically, if that strikes your fancy. But if the Beatles aren't your taste, if you'd rather hear Pete talk about Devo, good news. Podcast ABC Devo is now complete. All the album cuts are covered. So why don't you whip on over there and check it out?
Alex, I have to admit, I've not heard the Godfather Minute. Uh-huh. Do you do the podcast with cotton stuffed in your cheeks, or is that not the gimmick?
I do. I stay in character the entire time, so I don't want to commit it.
Leave the gun, take the podcast.
That's what we should have called it. We'll start over. And also, if you really want to dig into if you really want to hear Pete talk about a wide range of subjects, check out Nerd Geek Dork, where each episode they talk about, they have a panel of guests who geek out about a particular topic. Everything from, what are some of your most popular ones, Pete?
I keep trying to remember any of them, never mind the most popular ones.
Spinal Tap. I think I was on the Spinal Tap one.
Spinal Tap. We did American Werewolf in London. We did G.I. Joe. We did pro wrestling.
Oh.
I think we did
Transformers. Hockey.
No, we didn't do Transformers because I was, I don't know.
No one cares about those.
I've had just kind of a negative, I feel like people went way further with Transformers after, I was fairly equally into G.I. Joe and Transformers, but then people kind of went overboard with Transformers nostalgia in the kind of 90s. And I was like, all right.
That's funny because it's funny. I think everybody was baseline G.I. Joe, but I was G.I. Joe He-Man as a kid. I wasn't G.I. Joe Transformers.
That's funny.
Also, is your podcast the mortal enemy of Eat, Pray, Love?
Well, one day we're going to kind of team up, do a little fusion dance. And
oh, all right.
Dancing.
Kind of like a little key master and the gatekeeper action there, it sounds like.
So if any of these podcasts sound like they could be interesting to you, you can find them on any most aggregates that serve podcasts, Apple Podcasts and elsewhere. So check those out and check us out tomorrow with another brand new Star Wars Minute.